From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence today, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Son of God, the one who lived and died and rose again for us, the one who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We thank thee, Lord, for the revelation of thy Son within the Word of God. And we pray today as we come around this open book that we will see Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt thrill our hearts as we hear about our Savior. We pray, Lord, you'll bless the preacher as he delivers the word that the Lord has laid upon his heart. Lord, we pray that wherever this program is shown, that souls will be reached with the good news of the gospel, the wonderful hope of life eternal in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to worship thee tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and commencing at verse number 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Amen. We pray God add a blessing to the public reading of his precious and holy word. We're now going to sing a hymn that ought to be the prayer of each Christian. Oh, for a closer walk with God.
It's nice to be with you, and we're going to turn to a verse in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, the first part of verse 2. But before we turn to that scripture, let's unite our hearts together briefly in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank you for the scriptures of truth, and we pray that thou wilt apply the truth to all of our hearts, that we might say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Have mercy on us, guide us, direct us in the word of God, and defeat the devil and destroy his works. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and pour thy Spirit out upon all who are present. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our text is found in the first part of verse 2 of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I sleep, but my heart waketh. The Song of Solomon is a sacred love song detailing the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. In chapter 4 and verse 7, Christ speaks of his bride and he says, Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And then he goes on to describe the church in terms of a beautiful garden, a garden that is well watered, that is fruitful, that is fragrant. And at the end of the chapter, there is a response from the church. She longs for her beloved to come into the garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And as we think of that end of chapter 4, we see that relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, very beautifully set before us. And we see that the church is deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and that Christ greatly loves the church. But we know that sometimes when we reach the mountaintop, we have to be on our guard because complacency may set in and we can very easily lose much of the ground that we have gained in seasons of refreshing through our carelessness. There can come a strain in the relationship between Christ and the church. Of course, we know that the strain is never caused by any failure on Christ's part. Christ is absolutely glorious, absolutely perfect. He always does what is right. He always treats his people well, and he always treats men and women in general well. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So we see Christ without failure, but sadly we do not see the church without failure. And we have warning in the scriptures about complacency. In Proverbs chapter 24 we read, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. What the wise man is saying to us there is, blessing can be eroded, it can be lost very, very quickly. And here it is in our text. The bride says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. There is a strained relationship depicted for us in these verses. And the first thing we want to do is see what caused the strain in the relationship. The bride confesses, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. And yet she is conscious that there is someone outside looking for admission. She hears a knock at the door. She says, it's a voice of my beloved that saith to me, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. She's sleeping, but at the same time, she is not fast asleep. She is aware that there is someone who is seeking admission. That is ever the way with the church. No matter how far we get away from the Lord, we can never completely go out of the range of his voice. Jonah thought, when God sent him to preach at Nineveh, that he could escape. God was sending him in a northeasterly direction. He set off in a southwesterly direction. He thought he could get away from the voice of God, but in the Mediterranean Sea, the storm that God sent into the sea overtook him, and very quickly he was brought to realize that he could not cut off the voice of God completely. And the true Christian, no matter how far he or she gets away from the Lord, is never completely deaf to his voice. And that's why a Christian is never truly at rest in a backslidden condition. That person, deep down, is miserable. You may think of Lot. Lot, on one occasion, looked out across the well-watered plain of Jordan. And he thought that would be a most desirable place for me to bring my flocks and herds. They will have good grazing there. But the Bible says that the men of Sodom, that he would be going towards, were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And while Lot got good pasture ground for his sheep and for his cattle, he paid a very heavy price. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we discover that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds of the men of Sodom. Every day, Lot was unhappy. Every night, it was a nightmare, laying his head upon the pillow, tossing and turning. He wanted away from the city of Sodom, but he was held, I believe, by his family. They had settled in Sodom, and Lot was trapped. Yes, he had done wrong, but he wasn't happy. And that's always the way. If you get away from the Lord, you cannot be happy. Christians who indulge the lust of the flesh or become careless in their devotions or their service for Christ will find out sooner or later that their peace is disturbed as the Savior comes seeking fellowship with his people. But perhaps you might say, I never have any disturbance. Well, if you have no disturbance, you're in a very sad situation. People of God, when they do wrong, are disturbed. The child of God cannot be complacent while that person is not walking with God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the bride. She says, I sleep. But she says, my heart waketh. She can still recognize the voice of her beloved. Now, I want to make a second point. And I want to say that the strain in the relationship was aggravated by the bride's selfishness. She was taken up with herself. She was unmoved by the terms of endearment that were used by her beloved. And that's the church. Selfish many times. That's you and me. On many occasions, we indulge the flesh, we sit at ease, we don't want to be disturbed, and yet our failure to respond to Christ is aggravated by the love that he has for us. Notice how he speaks of his bride. He says, open to me, my sister. Well, there is a wonderful statement. Christ is reminding the church that the church is, in a sense, his own flesh and blood. That reminds us of the amazing humiliation that Christ had to undergo when he became flesh. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that wonderful statement concerning Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the great creator. In Hebrews chapter 1, we discover he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Just speaks. And everything is held in place. The amazing numbers of stars that are there in the sky. On one occasion, a man thought he could count them all. Got just over 1,000. Then the telescope discovered there were multitudes more. And it's reckoned there are billions upon billions more that we cannot see even with the most powerful telescopes. And yet they're all upheld by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is very God of very God. He is begotten, not created. He is from eternity to eternity. He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. And yet, that same first chapter of John's Gospel that tells us all things were made by him says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us to join with us, to join our nature, in a sense, to his. The Lord Jesus Christ became man. He became flesh. And you see that little babe cradled in his mother's arms. And there is the great and mighty God, God made flesh, Jesus Christ, coming to dwell amongst us. And he speaks to his bride and he says, open to me, my sister. Yet she is unresponsive to his plea. He also calls her his love. Surely that should have melted her heart and caused her to open the door to him. But when we think about it, we realize that in spite of Christ's great love for us, often we are very cold in our responses to him. The one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us, who calls us his love, who says, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee," many times we fail to respond to his love. And that's an aggravation. The fact that he loves us is an aggravation of our failure to respond to him. Then he calls her his dove. My love, my dove, and my undefiled. The dove is associated with innocence. That's not what we are like by nature. Christ has made us innocent. He has taken away the guilt of our sins. He has made us pure. He has made us holy. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Surely, when we think of what Christ has done for us, when we think of how much he loves his people, we surely can see the great failure, the great aggravation of our sin in failing to respond to his voice. He says, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." What is her response? "Well, I can't be bothered," is in essence what she says. "I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on?" She says, "I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? I don't want to walk across this floor because my feet may get dirty. I'm at rest, don't disturb me." Isn't that often your response? Isn't it often my response? The Lord comes, he challenges us, he puts something before us that we ought to do, and we're in our comfort zone. And we say, "I don't want to leave my comfort zone. I'm happy here. Things are going well for me." Maybe the Lord calls someone into his service. He says, "I want you to come and I want you to serve me on a full-time basis, in a full-time capacity." And we say, "But things are fine. I'm happy in my local church. I'm doing my best there. I'm going to the prayer meeting. I'm coming to the Sunday services. I'm witnessing to people and I'm witnessing at work. I don't want to go into full-time service because that would incapacitate me in other ways." What are we saying really when we say that? We're saying, "I do not want to be disturbed." And that is tragic. When you think of what Christ has done for us, when you think of his great love for us, when you think as well of his sufferings, because there's a further aggravation here, for Christ speaks and he tells us that his head is filled with dew and his drops with the lock, his head with the locks with the drops of the night. He's really saying, "I've been suffering." And that, in a way, is just a tiny indication of the enormous sufferings of Jesus Christ. In Zechariah 13 and verse 7, we hear this command, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts." The sword of justice is bidden to awake against the fellow of Jehovah. That word "fellow" means peer or equal. The equal of the Father, the equal of the Holy Spirit, the sword of divine justice was raised against him. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered indescribable anguish, indescribable woe, in order to save men and women, in order to save us from our sins. And he comes to us after such suffering, such sorrow, such grief. He says, "Open. Listen to me, respond to me." And our response is, "I have put off my coat, I've washed my feet." We make frivolous excuses and we refuse, in a way, to respond to the voice of the Savior. Now, the third thing and the final thing I want us to see is this: The bride had to pay a heavy price for her selfish behavior. Love unrequited, especially if it is Christ's love to us, must always carry serious consequences. Too late. The bride came to see the evil that she had done. She went to the door, but her beloved had withdrawn himself. And as you read through the rest of the chapter, you will see how she was disturbed. She went out to look for her beloved, and the watchmen that went about the city smote her. They took away her veil. She suffered. She suffered because of her failure to respond. And we always do suffer when we fail the Lord and do not do what he wants us to do. William Cooper, in the hymn that we sang, "Oh, for a closer walk with God," wrote these lines: "What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast." She suffered. She realized the wrong that she had done. She repented. She sought her beloved. And one wonderful outcome of that was she came to appreciate him even more. And she gives this glorious description of him at the end of the chapter, culminating in these words: "Yea, he is altogether lovely." Took some time before she knew joy restored, but in chapter 6 and in the verse 3, she is able to say, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Isn't it good to be back on terms with Christ when you have responded to his voice, even after you have failed? And may I say to you, if you're not saved, you have never responded to his voice. You've never listened to him. You've been sleeping your way towards eternity. What does the Bible say? "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Look to Christ. Call upon his name and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply the truth to our hearts, that thy people might respond to thy voice, and that those who know thee not might come to Christ and seek him as their own and personal Savior. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.